Praise God, praise God. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Amen. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Amen. Hopefully this will be our last week without our screens and projection. So, hopefully. Amen. Mark chapter 4. Begin reading at verse 5. Very familiar scripture to perhaps all of us, certainly most of us. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. Everybody say wind. And the waves, everybody say waves, beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he being Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea, the waves, obey him? Amen. Oh, praise God, praise God. And I want to try to preach to us just for a little while this morning. Try to help us, maybe. I want to preach from this subject. Wind, waves, and sometimes why? Wind, waves, and sometimes why? Put your Bibles down. Let's just talk to God one more time. Lord, we pray for your mighty hand and help. We pray for your anointing, your blessings. We ask that you would touch our hearts and our minds. We pray that you would speak to every one of us. We pray, God, that not one person in this place nor in the classrooms would leave unchanged, that no one would leave without feeling, experiencing your love, your presence, Lord God, your peace and strength, and your calling, and your speaking your voice to us. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Clap your hands one more time and give him praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Oftentimes when people are going through things, going through something, we tend to describe it or label it. Outside the church, people might say, I'm really going through a tough time. We all say that. Or really going through something, really going through this or that. They outside the church might even say, I feel like I'm going through hell or something like that. We in Christianity might say, I'm going through a trial right now. And oftentimes we say, I'm going through a storm. It's an analogy and it is fitting. It is derived from events in the Bible, just like the one we read, a storm. And it means so much to us because we understand what it is to go through a storm. And as well, the Bible tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust. And so the analogy is fitting. Oftentimes when we hear the report of a boat or a ship that got into trouble out on the ocean, we usually hear about how high the waves were. If a boat or ship is broken up or capsizes, we are told about the waves. We're told about how high, 30-foot high waves or whatever the case might be. When a tropical storm or hurricane is over the Atlantic or the Gulf, drawing close to landfall, we hear of storm surge and we hear of waves, wave height. What is a wave? A wave is described as a disturbance on the surface of a liquid body as a sea or a lake in the form of a moving ridge or swell. A disturbance on the surface. Waves are visible. Waves are troubling. Waves are repetitious and come in patterns. Waves rock our boats and they put fear in us. And waves always get the blame. Even in our lives. Whatever the waves are. But on a typically calm lake or sea, the size of the wave is the result of the wind. Amen. What is wind? Wind is the flowing of air from an area of higher pressure to an area of lower pressure. That's what it is. The flowing of air from higher pressure to an area of lower pressure. Wind is invisible. But it is very powerful. Its power and effect are often underestimated. Now, we use the cliche about certain people that they're making waves, and it means they're causing problems. The waves, though, aren't the problem. The person causing the waves is the problem. In our lives, the waves aren't the problem. They are simply a result of the wind. The wind is the problem. Remember, the wind is that flowing of air from of higher pressure to an area of lower pressure. Now, in our society, everyone's goal, it seems, is to live low pressure. In other words, we want leisure. We want to take it easy. We want no pressure. People want less demands on their lives. And many people will do almost anything to avoid pressure. And this is what happens in our lives. God's calling to us individually and collectively is high pressure. He pressures us for change. He pressures us for commitment. He pressures us to become. But we naturally want to resist pressure. Wind comes when we resist change because it's high pressure from the Lord moving and trying to bring us to another place. And then there's the low pressure that we are, and we don't want that change, and we don't want that to make that commitment. And so we don't want to become what God wants us to become, or we don't want to do what God wants us to do. And when we don't want to do what is right, because the right thing is not always the easiest, and so we want low pressure, not high pressure. God wants change. We want what's easy, not change or no change. God wants commitment, but we want the easy way, little to no commitment. God wants a deeper dimension of relationship with us, but we want it an easy way with little prayer, little Bible, little praise, and little worship. God wants our time, talent, and treasures, but we want it the easy way, and use it all for me, ourselves. Becoming what God wants us to become, doing what God wants us to do, is high pressure. In other words, it goes against our nature. It goes against the will of our flesh. It's not easy to go to deeper dimensions of prayer. It's not easy to really get into and study the Word of God. It's not easy to be fully committed to God and to His kingdom and to His church. It's not easy to put God first in everything we do and in every day and in every decision. It's not easy. It's high pressure to give our time, our talent, and treasure. And so we naturally gravitate toward low pressure. And then the wind comes, because when you have high pressure and you have low pressure, wind is created. The movement from high pressure to low pressure brings wind, and wind causes waves. Amen. The wind is the problem. The waves is just the result. So all those things you're dealing with, those are not the problem. Those are the result of a wind created from high pressure and low pressure. The waves are the anxiety, the stress, the issues, the restlessness, the dissatisfaction, the emptiness, the relationship crisis, the financial crisis, and even oftentimes those who are fully committed and giving God everything, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Even God allows wind to come into our lives. And that wind brings waves, because there's a low pressure somewhere, and God wants to reveal that, and God wants to deal with that. And so God allows a wind to come, and that wind brings waves. And it might be in the form of a sickness or a sudden illness or some tragedy or just things that are not going well or things are going wrong. Wind brings waves. In our text here in Mark 4, which is the same as Matthew 8 and Luke 8, Jesus and His disciples got into a boat, were crossing what is called the Sea of Galilee. They say that ill winds at night on the Sea of Galilee can rise with terrifying suddenness and create the perfect storm. Violent storm winds that come off the Golan Heights get trapped in that large freshwater basin and can be deadly, even to the most experienced of fishermen. And for those fishermen in the smaller ancient type boats, the waters of the Sea of Galilee could grow disturbingly dangerous and dangerously and immediately immense. And they say the Sea of Galilee is known to have storms that can raise 10-foot waves. 10-foot waves are deadly, especially when you're in a small sailboat that's only about 4.5 feet high from bottom of the keel to the top of the rails. And that size boat may well be the type of boat that Jesus and His disciples were in that night. In 1986, during a drought in Galilee, the bones of an ancient boat were discovered, and archaeologists placed its age between 100 BC and 100 AD, smack dab in the middle of Jesus' time. At 26 feet in overall length and 7 feet at the beam, its widest point, the boat could fit 15 persons, including a man at the helm and a crew of 4. It would take a boat that size to haul Jesus and His disciples from one shore to the other. And these vessels, once common on the Sea of Galilee, had a single vertical mast rigged with a horizontal arm from which hung a square sail. And these nearly flat-bottomed boats sailed well with the wind and terribly into it. But Jesus, his disciples, His crew were seasoned, and they were sailors and seamen who were known fishermen, and they were in a trustworthy boat with which they were most likely familiar, and perhaps it was even owned by one of the disciples. And these men understood the waters. They understood the wind. They understood the shoreline. They understood all of that. And they could handle themselves and their boat whenever the weather went from calm to horrendous. In the dark of that night, perhaps they dropped that square sail when the wind kicked up. And maybe it was four strong-backed fishermen, disciples who took to the oars and began to row. And they hoped that with one man at the helm and four rowing and everyone else keeping the boat balanced, they were hoping that they could save the boat and themselves. Meanwhile, the winds raged and the waves crashed, tossing that boat about on growing white-top waves and more waves and more waves. All the while, this is going on. Wind, rain, waves, boat rocking, water pouring in. All the while, in the stern of the boat, Jesus Christ is asleep. He's the manifestation of the invisible God. He's the Word become flesh. He is the one in whom all things exist. By Him was everything created. For Him. Amen. And He's asleep, soundly and comfortably on a pillow. Maybe all self-trust of the fishermen, maybe all their skill was suddenly washed overboard in the mounting fear and terrifying and smashing of the waves. They had reason to believe that they were headed to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. And so somebody decided now would be a good time to get some divine intervention. Now, let me point out a couple of things here. When it was just the wind, they were okay. It's just some wind. We're experts. We're professionals. We can handle this. We've got this. Don't bother the Lord. When it's just some waves, we've seen this before. This is not our first rodeo. We're okay. It's not going to take me down. It's not going to get me. But when their life was threatened, when the boat begins to take on water, when death and drowning seems imminent, suddenly, where's Jesus? And so it is with us. Sometimes when it's just a little wind, I got this. Right? When it's just a few waves, I can handle this. I've been through things before. In other words, I don't really need to get desperate right now, because if I get desperate, that means I got to really pray. That means I got to get serious about prayer. It means I got to do more praying than what I'm used to doing. Desperation forces us to soul search. If I get too desperate, that means I've got to go to prayer. That means that if I go to prayer, that means some things are going to start coming up. That means I'm going to start, come on now. That means if I get desperate, when I get desperate and I feel like I've got to really touch God and I've got to really get into deep and deeper prayer than just the lay me down to sleep stuff that I've been doing and the give me this and give me that and bless my food stuff that I've been doing. If I got to get desperate, then God's going to bring up some things. I know He will. He does it every time. Right? And so we like to say, when it's a little wind, I got this. I don't really need to pray right now. Yeah. Little waves, I can handle this. I've been through stuff before. No need in getting desperate right now. But when it comes to where we don't know what else to do, then Desperate praying forces me to consider whether I'm truly living in the high-pressure atmosphere of following Him or opting for the low-pressure atmosphere of living for me. And so, it might be why there are wind and waves, right? It might just be that God has sent a wind to get our attention. He's sent a wind because He's trying to move on us to move into a deeper place in Him. He's trying to move on us to get to go deeper in our relationship with Him, to go deeper in prayer, to get an understanding of Him. But we prefer the low pressure lifestyle that we're enjoying. And so that high pressure and low pressure creates a wind, and that wind creates waves. When we're not where we need to be in Him, and when we're not getting to where we need to be, and when we're content to live low pressure, our attitude is I'll pray, but nothing crazy. I'll commit, but not too much. I don't really desire or need an anointing. I'm not really big into doctrine. Not really into study. I'll give a little when I can, but God is saying that's not what I want for you. And God will allow the wind to come. And the wind brings the waves. And the waves can get so dangerous that we are forced to seek His help. Forced to cry out to Him. And that's not because He's narcissistic. But because He loves you. And there's more to His plan and purpose for your life than you know. And there's more to a storm than what meets the eye. There is a purpose in every storm that comes through your life. There is a purpose in it. Amen. So, let's look closely at this event. Verse 35 starts off, and the same day as what? The same day as the previous 34 verses. Jesus is teaching here in Mark chapter 4, and He's teaching the disciples, He's teaching the crowd, He's teaching using parables, all right? Analogies, stories. And so the disciples are hearing this, these teachings, and they're hearing the parable of the sowing the seeds, and the parable of mustard seed, and the parable of these different things and that Jesus is talking about. And then the Bible says it explains to them the parables. He explains the teachings to them. And so the disciples are in church. And they're listening. Right? They're in church. They're listening. He's teaching. He's explaining. But there's more. They're not getting it. And so the Bible says when evening was come, when nightfall was approaching, He says to them, let us pass over or cross over to the other side. All right? Now, I want you to allow your spiritual understanding to be opened here throughout these next few verses. And it's not difficult stuff, but I just want you to see some things here. He says, let us pass over. Right? And so, in other words, He knows when you're headed for a storm. He knows when you're about to cross a sea in your life and you're headed for a storm. And when you're committed to Him, He says, let us pass over. When he loves you, when He's reaching for you, when He's trying to take you to a new place, when He's trying to teach you and give you understanding, He says, let us pass over. Let us pass over. He's not sending you alone, right? Let us pass over. He knows what's coming and He's going with you. You're not going through that storm by yourself. Because you might not have heard Him, but He said, let us. Let us pass over. And so He knows what's coming and He's going with you. Then the next verse says, and there arose a great storm of wind and waves. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Water coming over. And so He's in the hinder part. He's in the stern of the ship. And He's asleep on this pillow. And so He sleeps in the storm. Oftentimes, we're faced with a storm in our life. And we know He promised that He would be with us. He said, let us go. He's in this boat. He's in this ship somewhere. But He's not paying attention, it seems. He's asleep in my storm. Anybody ever had a storm and you felt like Jesus was asleep in your storm? But that tells me something else. It tells me that He don't have a problem with that storm. It tells me that He's not concerned. It tells me He's not worried. That boat might be rocking. It might be tipping. It might be getting full of water. But it tells me Jesus is asleep. He's not worried. He's not concerned. And so, He's in the boat with them. Let us go over, pass over. He's asleep in the boat, in the storm. He's aware of it, but He won't intervene until He's invited. Oftentimes, facing storms in our lives, like I mentioned a moment ago, we don't really want to bother Him right now. Because we're not sure what He's going to say. We're not real sure what He's going to do. We don't really want Him convicting us. Right? If I bother Him in my storm, I know He's going to convict me of something. Right? Because He's always trying to help me. Always trying to change me. Always trying to take me to another level in Him when I'm satisfied with this level. He don't want you to stay at that level. He wants you at another level. But He won't intervene until He's invited. And so finally somebody says, where's Jesus? We're going to die if somebody don't wake Him up. And the Bible says they awake Him and said to Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? Now, a couple of things we need to look at here. First of all, what woke Him? Did the wind wake Him? Nope. Did the rain wake Him? No. Did the waves wake Him? No. Did water filling the boat wake Him? No. Did panic wake Him? No. Did complaining wake Him? No. Did blame wake Him? No. What woke Him was simply Master. Master. He's not disturbed by the wind. He's not disturbed by the waves. He's not disturbed by the water. The only thing that's going to wake Him and invite Him is when you call on His name. Call on that name. Call on that name. Amen. What wakes Him is not your circumstance. It's not the conditions of your circumstance. It's not the wind, not the rain. It's not the waves that will wake Him in your storm. It's not your panic. It's not your complaining. And it's certainly not your blaming Him or anybody else, but when you call on His name. That's when He says, yes, I told you I'd be with you. I said, let us go through this storm. But notice what they called him. They called him Master. If you're reading anything, any other version, New King James, I've been reading from the King James today, but if we were reading from the New King James like we normally do, it would say teacher. It would say teacher. Now, these guys, now, granted, they've been disciples for a little while now, not long, but for a little while. But they've heard the teachings. They've seen miracles. They've seen blind heal. They've seen lame walk. They even heard demons call him Son of God. But they called him teacher. So there's a desperate need for revelation. So, verse 39 says, and he, Jesus, arose and he rebuked the wind, right? And then said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased first, and then there was a great calm in the waves. The waves ceased. So, don't be surprised when he starts dealing with the reason before he starts dealing with the results. When you invite him into your storm, don't be surprised when he starts dealing with the reason that you're in that storm before he deals with the results of the storm. Amen. Remember, he allows the wind because of his pressure and your comfortable low pressure. And when they come together, when he's trying to bring it together and bring you to a new dimension in him, that's when the wind is created, and that wind brings waves. And so when that storm and those waves and that storm finally gets too much for you, and in desperation you call out to him and he hears and he answers and he shows up in that storm, don't be surprised when he speaks to the wind first. Amen. He'll calm the waves. He'll take care of, he'll speak peace to all of that. But he's going to deal with the issues first. Amen. That's how good he is. He loves you so much. He's trying to draw us, take us, every one of us, no matter who you are. Every one of us. Come to a new dimension in me. Come to a new place in me. Come to a new level in me. Come to a new dimension of relationship with me, because I want to know you in a greater way. I want you to know me in a greater way than you've ever known before. But I've got to fix some things. I've got to help you in some things. I've got to take care of some things in your life. And sometimes to get to those things, he has to bring a storm. Amen. Amen. And so he speaks to the wind. Then he calms the waves. Amen. Then, Bible says, he turns to them and says, why are you so fearful? And then he says, how is it that you have no faith? Okay? So he's dealing with some issues here. And then the Bible says, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And so he's dealing with their fear. Why do you fear this storm? I told you. If I said, now Jesus speaking, if I said, let us go to the other side, do you think I'm going to allow us to drown in the middle of the sea? Why are you so fearful? If God has told you, I will bring you through this, if God has told you, I am with you, if God has given you promise after promise after promise after promise. And then when the storm comes and we're so afraid, we're so fearful. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to do. I'm pulling my hair out. I'm going crazy. I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. And he says, why are you so fearful? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? And so it's like he's saying, look, that's why I'm trying to take you from here to there. That's why I'm trying to take you out of this low-pressure lifestyle that you're enjoying so much, but it's not good for you, and it's not what I want for you. And it's not going to help you when tribulation comes and more trials really come. I'm trying to take you to a new and greater dimension of relationship with me and understanding and revelation and into my word. And I'm trying to do some things in your life, but we've got to deal with the fear. We've got to deal with the lack of faith. Man, so he says, why are you so fearful? And if we would allow God to do the work that he wants to do, we will not be afraid of storms, trials, whatever you want to call them. If our faith is completely and totally in him, God, I walk by faith and not by sight. Now, something happens here. And so he says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And then the Bible says they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So, fearful of the storm and then feared exceedingly are two different things. They feared the storm because they lacked faith. But all of a sudden, when he began to work in their midst, they feared exceedingly. In other words, they were in awe of him. What happened? What happened? Suddenly, their understanding was open. Suddenly, revelation began to come. That's the whole point of that storm, is revelation. That's the whole point. Revelation. His mission in that moment was fulfilled. Amen. He had taught all day long, morning till night. He was exhausted perhaps from teaching and then explaining and then getting them aside and re-explaining. And so he said, okay, here's what I'm going to have to do. You need revelation. I've been with you. You're still calling me teacher. And that's okay for other people that don't really know me. But you guys, really? By now, you ought to be calling me the Son of God. And so revelation is what you need. So here's what we're going to do. Come on, let's get in this boat. Let us pass over to the other side. Okay, that sounds good. Let's go to the other side with the Lord. But all of a sudden, a storm comes up. Oh my God, oh my God, we're going to die. Where is Jesus? Master, teacher, do you not even care that we perish? And so he deals with the issues. He deals with the wind. He deals with the waves. And finally, they get revelation. Whew. Wow. This really is. I see him in a different way. I know him now like I didn't know him earlier today. I know him now like I didn't know him yesterday. And that's the point. That's the point. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 And so he's reaching for every one of us. Reaching, stirring, calling. Yes, it's high pressure. It's not easy to get to a new level of prayer. No, it's not. It's not easy to get to a new level of faith and trust and commitment and giving and worship and all those things. But that's why there's high pressure. That's why there's low pressure. And God is trying to take us out of that low-pressure living. Take us into a new dimension. Amen. So we can trust Him. And we can know Him. And we can get revelation of who He really is. Greater than you've ever had before. So don't despise the storm, but let Him work in it. Let Him do what He wants to do. Let's stand. Let's stand today. Don't despise the storm. Don't blame Him. Don't blame any, all these other things. Amen. Don't complain about the waves. Amen. Just say, God, what are you doing? What are you trying to do? What do you want to do in this? And so I know, God, you're taking me. You're drawing me to a closer walk with you. You're drawing me to a place in you. I know, God, it's going to require me to face some facts about myself. It's going to require me to confess some things. It's going to require me to walk away from some things. It's going to require me. It's going to cost me, God. I understand that. But, God, help us to pay the cost to get to that place in God that He wants you to be. Every man, woman in this place, there is a dimension of relationship that He wants. There's a deeper place. Prayer, worship, commitment, service, sacrifice, and revelation. Understanding. Amen. Understanding of Him, understanding His doctrine, His word, understanding the apostles' doctrine, understanding salvation, understanding holiness and righteousness, understanding that there are people that are lost and they need to be reached and it's up to the church. Understanding and seeing these things and then saying, okay, God, okay, all right. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let Him do what He wants to do. Let Him do what He wants to do. You hear do you hear a wind blowing? Say, Lord, there's a wind blowing. I hear it. I hear it. Oh, Lord, bring me into that place. Bring me into that place. Help me, God, to get there before the storm even starts. I hear the wind blowing. I hear it calling. I hear it calling. Oh, hallelujah. I hear it calling. Praise God. Praise God. And He's calling every one of us to go deeper, to go higher. Amen. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Can you feel the wind blowing in this place? Can you feel the touch of God in this house? Can you hear the voice of the Lord calling out to you individually, to us collectively? Can you feel the hand of God reaching? Come on. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. I've got something for you. I've got a greater walk for you here in these last days. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to live in that comfort zone that you've come accustomed to. That's not where I want you. I want you in a deeper relationship with me. I've got so much more for you. Oh, praise God. Let the Holy Ghost speak right now in your hearts and minds. I invite you to come and pray. Let's. Altar area is plenty large enough for all of us. Let's come and let's find a place to pray. Let's talk to God. Oh, let's talk to the Master, Jesus, our Savior, our help, our Lord, and our God. Oh, hallelujah.